Good morning, church family. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I want to say again, happy Mother's Day to all our mothers here this morning. We're going to begin with a special presentation. I want to ask all kindergarten through 12th grade children, students here this morning, if you're able and willing, if you'll go meet Miss Andrea back in the back center here, the worship center. Kindergartners through 12th graders, if you'll go and help Miss Andrea, we're gonna pass something very special out this morning. We have a flower for every adult woman in attendance today, and I need you to hear me on this, church family. Whether you're a mother or not, you've been created in the image of God for a distinct purpose. And we want to encourage you today to find purpose in being a disciple of Jesus, an encourager to all and a nurturer to all. Above all, you are a daughter of the Heavenly Father, created to do great things for God's glory, for your joy and for the sake of the world. So please, as our kids walk around with these flowers, every adult woman, would you please accept this as a gift and accept it as a reminder to love well as Jesus has loved you well. As I'm sure most of you are doing this morning, whether your mother is still alive or has passed on, you're thinking of her. I'm thinking of my mother, Mary Hobbs, today, for her love, for her nurturing influence in my life. I believe she's my greatest supporter. And I'm certainly grateful to Tara for the wonderful mother that she is to our three children. But I'm also thankful to all of my Bible class teachers that I've had over the years. I'm thankful to my school teachers. I'm thankful that when I went to Oklahoma City to go to Oklahoma Christian University and knew no one, I'm thankful for all of the away-from-home mothers that poured their wisdom and love into my life and who I think of as motherly influences in my life to this day. So, as we continue to pass out these flowers, I want you to think about this. Who are the adult women in your life, the godly women in your life, who have influenced you spiritually? And as you think about those women, if your story is anything like mine, there's not just one, there's not just two, there's several godly women that you're thinking about over the years who influenced you spiritually. And so, adult women, listen, I pray that you will receive this truth. Even if you don't have biological children, you are still a spiritual mother to many. That's just the truth. And so to all of our women here this morning, mothers, grandmothers, women of godly influence here today, thank you. Thank you for your giftedness. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your godly wisdom. Thank you to our children and to Andrea for those flowers. Thankful for that gift today. As joyous as a day that this can be for so many, we do want to pause and acknowledge that for others it can be painful. Perhaps today you're grieving the loss of your mother or grandmother. I have talked to a few of you this morning already who have recently lost your mother. Maybe for you though, maybe it's you're grieving the loss of a child or a grandchild. No matter how recent that is, on a day like this, those emotions can come back. Maybe for you, though, the hurt of not having or not being able to have children is painful for you today. And then for others, your relationship with your mother was or is a negative one. And there may be other reasons that you're hurting today. But for whatever reason, if you are struggling today, if you're hurting, we want you to know you're not alone, that we see you and that we love you as your church family. As we continue our series on the way of wisdom this morning, today's on-ramp of wisdom, if you will, comes from the first section of Proverbs. If you have never read the collection of Proverbs, I know you open up and you're like, 31 chapters, nah, next book. Now, take the time to read the collection of Proverbs. I highly recommend this to you. And as you do, what you'll find is that it consists of a prologue, an opening, the first seven verses of chapter 1. It has a beautiful conclusion in chapter 31. And then in between the prologue and the conclusion are these two major sections, chapters 1 through 9 and chapters 10 through chapter 31, verse 9. And each of these sections are fashioned together for a distinct purpose. And there's many themes that run throughout these two major sections. We're going to focus in on an overview of that first section, chapters 1 through 9 this morning. You can open up and join me in chapter 1. We'll be there here in just a moment. There are many themes that run through the first nine chapters of Proverbs, but they all are interwoven together to create this urgent appeal to the son to choose wisdom. And the emphasis is so significant that the words wise or wisdom appear more than 30 times just in the first nine chapters. And I say to the son because Proverbs frequently references a son or my son whose father and mother are teaching him. At times they are urging or begging him to choose wisdom. And so you can read the prologue for yourself there, the first seven verses. And after that opening, the collection begins with these words. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And so as you read the prologue and you read the first lines of this first speech from the parents to their son, I want to ask, why do we think there's so much importance given to the ideas of learning and understanding and accepting and living out the way of wisdom? Well, as we continue to read, one answer comes in this first speech from the father and mother, verses 8 through 19. They acknowledge, the parents are acknowledging to their son and highlighting to their son another group, another voice who are after his attention. Follow along with me, starting in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin, and they are swift to shed blood. And so this group, this other voice in the room, if you will, they want the son's attention. They want the son to come with them, to get crazy in this kind of fun that they have mesmerized in their minds, to get rich quick, to become an equal in their group. If you're paying attention, it almost sounds like a game. Like they are trying to get this son to come and be a part of this evil group with their evil doings. There's another path for the son. There's another voice after his attention. Describing what appears to be a good life, what appears to be an exciting and fun life, but the parents know, don't set foot on that path, son. Listen to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They know this path and this voice. The parents not only know there's another voice after their son's attention, but they also are aware that this voice is persuasive. And the parents, specifically the mother, mothers, you know this to be true. Maybe more than us fathers. There is great joy in raising a child, right? From their first cry, When that baby is born, mothers, right, and you hear your baby cry, I don't know that I can explain adequately how you feel in that moment. I can tell you how I felt when Cadence cried her first, my first child. Instantly, I was in love. Instantly. At her first cry, at my first glance, as she tried to open her little eyes. I mean, just love at first sight, right? From their first breath to their first cry to their first smile, when their personality starts to arise and you see them laugh, even though it may just be intestinal gas at that moment. They smile and you're like, look, my baby has a smile. That first rollover, right? One of our young families, the Steffens, posted a video of their son. He's rolling over for the first time. All of these memories are sweet, and we cherish them. And then the kids start to get older, and we start to get anxious. We start to worry. Did we teach them everything we could? Did we relay to them the ways of wisdom and how they should say no to this or that or be quick to say yes to that? That we teach them the way of the Lord, the way of wisdom, so that they would not fall into the hands of people like this group in Proverbs 1 that the parents are so worried about. The parents here in Proverbs 1 through 9, they know that their son still lacks the wisdom to recognize the danger of this persuasive group of evildoers. And the parents realize the urgency for their son to choose the voice, to choose the pathway of wisdom over any other voice that may call out his name. So how will they gain his attention? How will the parents keep their son's attention on godly wisdom? Well, as you read Proverbs 1 through 9, it seems the major tactic within the context is to use the young man's raging hormones to keep his attention. The sages, they choose to cast some women into roles that are nothing less than remarkable. Some of them are highly positive, and frankly, some of them are negative roles. The positive ones include the son's mother and her distinct voice to urge him to choose wisdom. And then maybe my favorite is the personification of godly wisdom as a woman. Five significant texts highlight woman wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 31. And so the parents are trying to keep their son's attention. Listen to us. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listen to your father's instruction. Choose wisdom. Listen closely to one sampling of this teaching from chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Those sound like good promises. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them as a tablet on your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now pay attention to the next part of chapter 3. The parents are giving the speech to their son. Listen to how they keep his attention. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and those who hold fast will be blessed. I believe it's significant for us to note here that the writer is speaking about woman wisdom, because if you go back to chapter 1, woman wisdom is actually speaking words to the Son. But here the writer is speaking about woman wisdom. The Son is being told why he should choose her and never let her go. She is better than wealth, better than jewels, better than any desire that he could conjure up in his mind. There's nothing in the world that compares with woman wisdom. She holds long life in one hand, and there's full and genuine life that is good in that hand. And then in the other hand, she holds wealth and honor and respect. The paths that woman wisdom travels, all of her paths are pleasant and peaceful, and she's implicitly inviting the reader to join her on her travels. And then comes the surprise of the text. As I read it, I'm curious to know if it jumped out at you. Wisdom is a tree of life. If you're paying attention, I promise you, Hebrews who were reading this wisdom piece were paying attention. When they read that, their minds went racing back to the Garden of Eden, the original tree of life. Because you see, wisdom seems to provide the life that God has always intended for humanity. She is a tree of life. And then verse 18 is sobering, because those who laid hold of woman wisdom will be blessed. Those who lay hold of her and never let go. This language is reminiscent to a marriage covenant. Those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, those who lay hold of wisdom and never let her go. Do you see what the father and mother are doing here? In Proverbs 1 through 9? My son, lay hold of wisdom and never look back. Never let her go. Do you feel the urgency? The love, the wisdom of the parents. So mothers, this morning as you consider the ways of wisdom, never sell yourself short. You're doing something great. Again, just one more time, whether you're a biological mother, adoptive mother, or a spiritual mother, all of you are doing something great. The daily things that you do go a long way to encourage the way of godly wisdom for your children and all of those around you. Now, obviously, you cannot choose wisdom for them, right? But you can point them in the right direction. You can urge them to choose the ways of wisdom, just like the parents in Proverbs did for their son. However, as you think about being a parent this morning, there's many things that go through our minds, right? And I've been told that we need to make the most of every opportunity. The phrase that always comes back to me for these messages is, the days are long, but the years are short. Right? We got to make the most of every opportunity, because before we know it, those young little kids that just make the days long are going to be graduating and leaving home. So I've been told. So we must make the most of every opportunity. As way to reassure all of our mothers and to celebrate the way that your love and your wisdom make a lasting impression on our lives, I want to close with a Mother's Day tradition. For those of you who've been with us a while, you know this tradition. If you're new, welcome to the tradition. I pray you'll listen to the message of this book. It's one I grew up hearing. And it's why I choose to read it every Mother's Day. As you can see, the title is Love You Forever. A mother held her new baby, and she very slowly rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang,
I love you forever, I like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be.
Well, that baby grew. He grew and he grew until he was 2 years old, and he ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator, and he took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Thank you, son. Sometimes his mother would say, this kid is driving me crazy. But at night, when that two-year-old was quiet, she would open the door to his room, crawl across the floor, look up over the side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she'd pick him up and rock him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang,
I love you forever, I like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be.
Well, that little boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew until he was around 9 years old. And he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath. And when Grandma visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. But at nighttime, when he was asleep, the mother quietly opened the door to his room, would crawl across the floor, look up over the side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she would pick up that 9-year-old boy and rock him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang,
I love you forever, I like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be.
Well, that boy kept growing. He grew and he grew until he was a teenager. He had strange friends and he wore strange clothes and he listened to strange music. Sometimes his mother felt like she was in a zoo. Yeah. But at nighttime, when that teenager was asleep, the mother would open the door to his room, crawl across the floor, look up over the side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she would pick up that great big boy and rock him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang,
I love you forever, I like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be.
Well, that teenager grew. He grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. And he left home and he got a house across town. But sometimes, on dark nights, the mother would get into her car and drive across town. And if all the lights in her son's house were out, she opened his bedroom window, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of his bed, and if that great big man was really asleep, she would pick him up and rock him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang,
I love you forever, I like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be.
Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older. And one day she called up her son and said, "You'd better come to see me because I'm very old and sick." And so her son came to see her. And when he came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang,
"I love you forever. I like you for always."
But she couldn't quite finish because she was so old and sick. And so the son went to his mother and he picked her up. He began to rock her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And as he rocked her, he sang this song.
"I love you forever. I like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy, you'll be."
When the son went home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. And then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms. Very slowly rocked her back and forth. Back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang,
"I love you forever. I like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be."
To all of our adult women, again, one more time, thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your nurturing spirit, and for your wisdom. When I read that story, I can't help but think about the embrace of God and how when we don't know, when we don't realize, in those tough moments, in those joyful moments, our God is embracing us, saying, "I love you, child. Well done. Well done." And so this morning, maybe you need the embrace of a loving father. And we would urge you to receive his love today. If you need his encouragement or support, we would love as his servants to minister to you, to encourage you, to pray with you. Whatever you might need this morning, if you need the love of the Father, respond to him now during this song. Let's stand and sing together.